increasing and the commercial harvest in the Cook Inlet. And of those 121,000, the sports fishermen get 84.2% of the king harvest. Now, it's pretty obvious what's happening to the streams. If the kings are going down, it's not the commercial fishermen that are doing it. And I don't think any research projects are going to do anything for that. And I'm against the discrete stock research, because I don't, I think it's an allocation situation where people are trying to use that for the spotted owl technique. And that's all I have to say.
Bud Hodson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Bud Hodson. I live in Tick Chick near the Lodge out in Western Alaska. I support Senate Bill 40. The additional data collection and stock assessment is greatly needed to assist the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Fisheries in managing our fisheries into the future. For many years, the Board of Fisheries has made management decisions not founded on good, if any, science and stock identification or assessments. As a past Board of Fisheries member, I always felt great frustration at having to make critical decisions and consistently being told by ADF&G that they simply did not have the funding to go out and do stock assessment. And I knew that it would come around again and the board would have to make the decisions again with lacking data. Had this directive and funding been available when I was on the board 10 years ago, today's board and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game would have the ability to make better management decisions. There has been much discussion about the definition of discrete stocks. This bill allows and directs the Board of Fish to identify and therefore define how the term discrete will be used for the purpose of discrete stock assessment. I encourage you to look at the long-term benefits of additional science and data in managing our fisheries, not the current comments on how or if stock assessment might affect allocated decisions. This is a good bill. We can debate the funding mechanism, but the need for additional fisheries assessment science is not disputable. The problem is that some users fear what the results will show, but conservation of salmon resources should not be compromised. Much of the testimony refers to Cook Inlet, but this bill will benefit the entire state. Only proactive management will prevent weakened stock management in commercial fisheries in the future. Identifying and protecting discrete stocks now can prevent complete closures of commercial fisheries in the future. I encourage you to pursue this. Thank you.
Senator Lehman?
Bud, in earlier testimony, we've heard from some who suggest that the funding mechanism is equitable and others who have suggested it's not, and I think it largely depends on who's paying for it. But a couple suggestions have moved up that guide operators like yourself or lodge owners or operators or guides participate via a surcharge. How would you respond to such a suggestion?
Oh, I would think that industry would be willing to pay its fair share. I don't think that that would be debatable as long as it was equitable, accountable. I personally wouldn't, and I don't think industry would balk.
What mechanism do you think would be appropriate for doing that equitably?
Well, I don't know. You know, we don't have any licensing to identify our industry as such. At this point, I can't tell you. You know, it would take an evaluation of the number of guides, the operators. But I'm sure industry would not balk at participating as an equal share in this.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I would be concerned about putting a surcharge on some people who probably don't make as much in a season as some guides may make in a week. And, you know, it's just a matter of trying to figure out a way to come up with equitable distribution. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you. Let's go to Randy. Is it Bjorgen?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Randy Bjorgen. I'm here to speak in support of Senate Bill 40. It seems to be a viable tool that will enhance our fish resource, and it would provide a defined mechanism for ADF&G and the Board of Fish to work together in a successful management plan. It also provides a viable payment source, and as Dr. White stated, secondary and tertiary sources need to be examined. They do personally profit from estate resources. Possibly user fees for this program should be levied based on the number of fish extracted from the resource. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Let's go to James Tuck in Matsu.
Mr. Tuck had to leave, Senator.
Okay, how about Rick Bray?
Seth Wong.
Tom Namtred?
He's here, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Tom Namvet. I live in the Wasilla and Senator Halford's district. I'm a Prince William Sound Copper River Group gillnet fisherman and a former fisheries biologist. My 20-year-old son is also a commercial fisherman, and my wife has been a permit holder. I would like to talk to you today about your Senate Bill 40. I'm opposed to Senate Bill 40 as written. This appears to be just a modified version of an earlier discrete stock management bill, a bill which was designed to reduce the commercial catch and increase the sport catch under the guise of protecting biodiversity. I also question whether the three projects listed so far are technically feasible and worthwhile. And I don't know what the status of the three draft projects is. In addition, I have problems with funding logic.
And 11 voted against me.
The three project lists so far entail mark and recapture on the Susitna River, Upper Copper River Inlet, genetic sockeye salmon identification, and genetic stock identification of indicator stocks. I was research project leader for the Division of Commercial Fisheries during 1974 to 1980, and I have some experience with similar projects. Mark and recapture projects were employed in the Susitna River during the late 70s and early 80s. It is my opinion that in the Susitna River, this method overestimated the spawning population due to the fact that some tag fish drifted downstream after tagging and were devoured by belugas. Tag loss caused a serious overestimating error. The Upper Cook Inlet genetic stock identification project appears to be a business as usual project formerly funded by federal aid, general fund, and then the trustee council. This project may sort out which fish are headed for the Kenai, Seal off the Sitna, and maybe Crescent Rivers, but I doubt if it will generate useful information on any further defined stocks. Finally, the third project, the genetic stock identification of indicator stocks project, will in theory track two sockeye salmon stocks, Upper Susitna and Russian River, through the marine and riverine environment. Given the fact that individual sockeye salmon stocks in the Upper Susitna River drainage have been small, numbering a few thousand fish, this is akin to looking for a needle in a haystack. It is conceivable that 1,000 samples from the entire commercial fishery could be processed without finding one single fish from one of these docks. The proposed budget that I saw was $50,000, and this will not fund much sampling and analysis. Senate Bill 40 mandates that an additional $500,000 be collected from commercial fishermen. I didn't see any mention of sport fish guides in the bill other than the $1 increase in sport licenses. I won't go into the fact that the commercial fishermen have paid more than the cost of managing the fishery. Discrete stock assessment obviously will lead to discrete stock management. From a practical standpoint, there are only so many stocks that can be managed. The Director of Commercial Fisheries defines discrete stocks to be drainage-wise stocks, such as the Kenai, Casila, and Susitna. This needs to be defined in law if this bill passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Leonard Hare.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm one of these guys that's not real knowledgeable on the biology of the fish. But as a user group, it's in the valley for 20-something years. What I do know is the process now is not working. And I don't have the answers, and I don't know if anybody does, but I certainly support Senate Bill 40 in hopes that it will solve some of our problems. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we're at about 5:30 now, and we've got people in Kenai, Anchorage, Matsu, Kodiak, Petersburg, and we're not going to be able to get done and get out of here. We're going to come back to, we're going to invite everyone to submit written testimony, but we are going to come back to Juneau and get the last few people we had signed up in Juneau. And we'll come back, and there will be another hearing scheduled, obviously, on this bill. We also, I think, you know, we don't have anyone left in Sitka or anywhere else. Okay, we'll come back to Juneau, and we've got, is Cliff Skilling still here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to testify. My name is Cliff Skillings. I'm the Executive Director of the Southeast Saners. I am here representing the Saners on this issue. As CSSB 40 is currently written, we cannot support it for such reasons as the funding structure. Upon reading the new SB 40, the first item that came to mind was tax and spend. We thought that it was the intention of the majority to balance the budget by reducing spending and not imposing new taxes. This bill is contradictory to those beliefs. The commercial fishing industry is continually being taxed, and as such, can make the rare statement that it pays its way. The additional tax that you impose on my fleet in Southeast puts my salmon fishermen and corresponding crew members in the upper tax bracket of this bill, financially supporting these sport fish studies in the South Central and AYK areas. We cannot support further taxes to our industry. At a time when state officials are looking for tax incentives to increase Alaska's foothold in world markets, and the legislature is vying for a balanced budget without further taxation, how can a bill providing for additional industry tax even be contemplated? Furthermore, if these studies are truly required, why was it not an ADF&G budget item? Part two, kind of in the same context as Mr. Sund, is relates to Section 7 of the Act. Calls for the repealing of Section 3 in January of 1998 should SB 7 find passage in the first regular session. After reading SB 7, you'll note that it increases the fee structure for out-of-state sport fishermen while lowering the fee structure for in-state sport fishermen. Commercial fishermen in SB 40 have no such tiered structure of taxes differentiating between in-state and out-of-state commercial fishermen. Section 7 implies that the commercial fishermen will provide the majority of funding for these sport fish projects, exonerating in-state sport fishermen from funding those projects. In closing, sir, just to keep this short, and I realize there's plenty of people left, let's not forget the original intent of this legislation last year, to legislatively resolve the ongoing allocation battle in the Cook Inlet area. It is no different this year. Discrete stock management assessments or management will imply and lead to discrete stock management. We'd like to state firmly that we do not oppose ADF&G studies to our fisheries resource. Actually, to clarify, we do not oppose the use of biological studies. These forms of study assist my area, particularly in the Pacific Salmon Treaty. However, we are opposed to legislation promoting the use of political science funded by an industry which continually pays its way to resolve allocation issues. That's all I have, sir. Thanks.
Just a question. Is there no difference in the in-state, out-of-state cost of limited entry permit renewals?
There is a difference, but there's no tiered structure in your bill. It's a flat rate.
There is a tiered structure based on that difference.
Yeah, $250 versus $750 for our fleet, which is $85, which is the flat rate for straight across the board, I guess. Okay. I think we're saying the same thing.
Okay. Questions? You do support the tax bill, though, the tax credit bill.
The governor's or Senator Mackey's?
Both.
Or the idea of both?
Either one of them.
Oh, yeah, we're generally looking into that. We haven't really committed to it.
I couldn't resist. Okay, let's go to Dean Paddock.
That's different, though.
Well, it would make the income of the state zero. 100% credit.
Mr. Chairman, remaining members of the committee. My name is Dean Paddock. I'm executive director for the Bristol Bay Drift Netters Association. This morning as I was leaving home, I mentioned to my wife that I might possibly offer testimony before this committee today, and she asked me on what's the issue. I responded that the issue is ignorance versus knowledge. Today in Alaska, we prosecute many mixed stock fisheries. Without information on major stock composition of the catch, the Board of Fish, the Department of Fish and Game, and the public are too often wandering around in blindfolds like a bunch of kids trying to play pin the tail on the donkey. You've heard from three current members of the Board of Fish and one former Board of Fish chairman how often Fish and Game staff have pled ignorance. My background as a biologist and manager tells me that there's a relationship between the numbers of spawners and the subsequent return. But to quantify any return, a manager must be able to determine the catch within acceptable limits. If you're fishing mixed stocks, in order to do this, you must know what rivers you're impacting and the approximate numbers that each one of those rivers contributes to that overall catch, or you can't determine the catch of the individual river. I'm often pleased to hear Bristol Bay management cited as a triumph of scientific fisheries management. Well, the good Lord has a lot to do with that, but early on, right at statehood, the determination was made that we would try to determine within the bay the degree of interception between districts. There had been some tagging done by the feds prior to statehood, but we jumped in with five separate tagging projects in 1960. And there have been efforts, scale analysis, intermittently since that time. You know, we had a former Board of Fish chairman who liked to cite Bristol Bay as the greatest interception fishery in the state. and he never could understand that this wasn't a problem because of two things. First is that management knew what it was doing, and second, there wasn't a real allocation problem within the bay because it's a terminal area and the fishermen within the bay can go anywhere they want to within the bay within certain limits. Limited entry solved many problems, but it created one further problem. We've now got a situation where fishers in one area can harvest stocks bound for another area, and the terminal fishermen are stuck with whatever remainder reaches them. We've been highly frustrated for many years in Bristol Bay by the situation where interception has occurred outside of our limited entry area. And the Fish and Game staff have not only refused to work toward a solution, but have insisted on denying that a problem might even be occurring upon occasion. I want to tell you how pleased I am to see that the Director of Commercial Fisheries has come to the table, and I sincerely hope that he brings the hearts and minds of all of his staff with him. We've heard criticism that this is an allocation bill and that this function should be left to the Board of Fish. Well, this bill does this. On the subject of allocation, there are many kinds of allocation, but they can all be lumped under two headings. There's the kind you have now and all the other kinds. Believe me, whatever else it may be, the status quo is an allocation. In many instances, that kind of allocation isn't acceptable any longer. While I feel that most of our biologists have been doing a great job, unfortunately, in recent times, some of our scientists have too often been more adept at analyzing public opinion than they have in defining fish stocks. Users have become very adept at lobbying their interests before the board and incidentally with their local area management staffs. Now, it's not perfect, but I support SB 40. Because I firmly believe it would restore a scientific rationale to many critically important management decisions which have too often fallen by the wayside of late. I hear this proposal attacked as a tax bill. Now, this does strike a sympathetic note with my libertarian tendencies, for I do regard the management of public resources is one of the few legitimate government functions, and I believe the public should help pay. I'm also concerned by taxes because I agree we're already more than adequately taxed. For instance, I personally pay 11% right off the top of my gross, and I won't take time to break that down unless you asked me to, but compared to this, the figure for this bill quoted by the Limited Entry Commission doesn't even make a blip on my radar screen. I'm much more concerned that I and many others have been paying an ignorance assessment in the form of foregone catches to which we are entitled and which we should and would have been there for the taking if the stocks were being adequately and properly managed and made available for maximum use consistent with the public interest. Now, I'm sure you recognize that quote from Article 8, Section 1 of our Constitution. We have been paying this assessment for 37 years. Those of us in Bristol Bay are very frustrated, as I said before. We believe that a change is long overdue, and hopefully this might bring about whatever it's going to take to restore more equity to our fisheries management. Thank you very much.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask a real quick question here. Mr. Paddock, when you say you support the bill, are you also then supporting the mechanism that is in here for how one pays for that?
Madam Senator, it isn't perfect, but as I said before, the figures that I heard cited by the Limited Entry Commission are so darned insignificant compared to the 11% I already pay that they don't really distress me.
Thank you.
If you'd like me to break down that 11%. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I said, we still have a number of people in the teleconference that we're not going to get to. We are going to have to adjourn at this point. The bill will come back up before us. To those people who stayed on the teleconference and listened, I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone, but we will have another teleconference on this topic, and the bill remained before us in the committee.
Mr. Chairman, can I just
Senator
ask
Lincoln.
A question? I hope that there isn't anybody here that
I think we got everybody here.
Town.
Do we have anybody that we didn't
well,
have anyone
signed
up here?
I was just worried about if they were from out of town.
We didn't have anyone signed up here that didn't get to testify in the. They came to Juneau.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are adjourned.